had that song on my heart yesterday when we were moving mulch together. Just seemed like a family of God experience. And just had that that note of joy in the singing. I'd like to read from 1 Timothy a few verses from that book and share some today about being in the family of God and especially relating to one another in the household of God. So the first verse is in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3:14, "These things I write to you, hoping to come to you more quickly. But if I delay, in order that you may know how one ought to conduct oneself in God's house, which is the assembly of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth." And just this phrase here, to know how one ought to conduct oneself in God's house or in the household of God. Okay, and then another verse is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. "Let no one despise your youth, but be a model of the believers," or an example of the believers, "in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." And then lastly, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Rebuke not an elder sharply, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brethren, elder women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity." Let's pray together. Lord, we trust in you in this time, and we come to you for fellowship. Lord, we come to you to share your heart with us and to be able to share our hearts back with you, Lord. We just open our hearts up to you in this time. We are so glad to be part of the family of God, so glad to be in your household, so glad to be washed and cleansed by the precious blood and to be remembered as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. This scripture in chapter 3, the knowing how to conduct oneself in the house of God, it's mentioned right after talking about qualifications and character traits of elders and deacons. And very specifically, Timothy was left behind in Ephesus, and Paul had to go on, but he was hoping to come back soon. Hopefully, he would be back soon enough that he could help reestablish some elders in Ephesus. The elders in Ephesus had something happen to them. Paul had prophesied about this in Acts chapter 20 and said he would never see the elders again. And from among them, some would rise up as wolves. So he knew something would happen. I don't know if he knew that he would ever be back in Ephesus, but he ended up going back to Ephesus. And some may have passed away, some may have moved, and some had turned into believers that were harming the saints. So at this spot, they needed to reestablish some elders. And the church, though it was a mature church in Ephesus, was at a spot of a major transition, a major change happening. And Timothy was left behind right there to finish some of the work that needed to be done. And so he says, I hope I can come back soon. But he spelled out all of these details about conduct in the house of God. It wasn't just about elders and deacons, even about details like a widow's list and all kinds of things. Lots of details are mentioned in 1 Timothy, just in case he didn't make it back to Ephesus. So Timothy has all of these things, and Timothy is still considered a young man. Now, he's been many years traveling with the Apostle Paul. He's probably more like my age, an old elderly man with white hair and maybe balding. But old enough to be old to some, but young enough to be young to others. So he's at a spot where he's left with some responsibilities. He has the grace of God. He has the ability. He has the teaching and even the gifting in Timothy's case to do the task that he's been charged with doing. And yet in chapter 4, he's told, "Let no one despise your youth." Put into such a spot in such a church in Ephesus, it would be easy for the believers, such a mature assembly, to have a hard time receiving that kind of help from Timothy. You know, if Paul's there, definitely. We can receive it even if I a little bit disagree. But this young man, it's a difficulty. So he brings it up and encourages him that way. And he also shares with him, like in chapter 5, how to relate to the older brothers and sisters and how to relate to the younger brothers and sisters. And I just wanted to bring this aspect of conduct in the house of God up for consideration, for fellowship. In the household of God, in the family of God, this is the same word used, like, you and your house will be saved. You and your family shall be saved. It's a word for not only a building, but really the people that live in it, really the household. But the way of acting in the family of God does include learning to relate to each other of different ages. We would like to say, and I would have loved to say, especially when I was newly saved, I did try to say, that there's no age in Christ. And actually, that part is true. In Christ himself, and when we step into the realm of fellowship, there are spiritual ages of maturity, of fathers and young men and little children, like 1 John 2 mentions. Those are spiritual maturity stages. But whatever your physical age is, if you're 13 or 18 or 35 or 105, whatever your physical age is, It's not what is noticed in Christ. It actually is basically removed there because it's all based on your life, your spiritual life. So we experience this when we get into pure fellowship, back and forth, sharing Christ. Sometimes you walk away from some fellowship with someone who's not your peer age-wise, and you were just amazed, and you actually forgot how old they were, whether they were older or younger, whatever it is. Those are the moments, then there's no age. But in the church, there's age. Now, this is a principle that happens a few times. For example, in Christ, like it says in Galatians 3, that in Christ, there's no Jew or Gentile, no bondservant or master, but it also says there's no male or female in Christ. And this is absolutely true. But when it's talking about in the church, like in Colossians 3, he doesn't mention male or female, though he does mention no Jew or Gentile and so on. Because in the church, there's some differences in behavior or way we do things according to some order, like it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11 or 14 or even in 1 Timothy 2. We notice that there are men and women, and there's even a difference of some conduct in the house of God. But when we're fellowshipping, when we're in the realm of fellowship in Christ and the life of Christ and eternal life, there's no male or female anymore in that moment of just purely sharing Christ. So with that same kind of principle, because of the encouragements here, you can see that relating to one another in the church, there is bound to be a noticeable age difference, and there's the need to learn how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, how to act, how to relate to one another of different ages. So this is not a bad thing. This is actually a glorious thing of God. It's on purpose. He has put us in the family of God, and he wants older brothers and older sisters, and he wants the difference. And he wants a younger brother who's 13. He wants a younger sister who's 26. He desires that variety of social life, of social spots in life, of the variety of memory, of the variety of abilities mentally, and the variety of wisdom, not just spiritually, but even socially. The Lord desires that family atmosphere, and it's actually a good, healthy thing. So we want to bring it out as a household of God reality that must be accepted. There are ages in the church, different ages. And even though in Christ and in fellowship, we don't see the age, but in the conduct in the house of God, as we do things together, as we work together, there are ages, and it is supposed to be like this. So this verse in 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no one despise your youth." And this word despising, I'd like to stop it from being a bad word. You know, if I despise someone out of cruelty, and I just despise everybody who is wealthy, or everybody who is white, or everybody who is short, or whatever it is, and I have some evil place in my heart, of course, that is a sin going on with me. That's something different. There's something, if we notice somebody just hates children, you know, they have something to deal with. This isn't what it's talking about. This is the natural, healthy noticing of someone's age. Looking down on someone because of their age, not looking down on them where you don't like them or you don't love them. It's actually usually because of love. It's usually because of that you notice the age. So, for example, in a physical family, if you have in a healthy family environment, maybe you have a family outing occasionally with cousins and uncles and aunts and grandparents, and everyone's there. And that great aunt is there as well. And others are there. And in that environment, you'll notice that your auntie or your uncle or whoever it is, they just love you so much. And they come up and they just still pinch your cheeks, even though you're 35 or whatever it is. They just adore you and they see you as such a fine young man, you know. And you don't feel like that person doesn't like me and they're despising me. But are they noticing your youth? Are they noticing that you're younger? Of course. They absolutely love that you're younger. They love to see the kids running around and doing all of these things. And it's a joy and it's a good thing. Now, let's say you're at the family outing and eventually through the evening you end up having conversations and talking and relating to one another. And instead of always just being that young lady who is so smiley, you have a seat and you talk to your great aunt and you end up finding that you both have lives to share. You both have things to share. You end up knowing each other. And then that begins to be a new type of relating to one another. You know, there's just the happiness of, oh, because you've known that little person since they were in diapers, and I even changed one of your diapers, you know, stuff like that. But now as they're 18, they talk to you, and then they say, I had no idea you were this type of human, you know. There's a discovery of that. It happens in families with parents and children. As the children start to get to an age where they are thinking in a more obvious way, and they're able to ask questions that are very good, and they're able to help you a little bit and remind you of things and bring up stuff. And I know, I haven't gone through this. I'm barely at a stage with a young kid, but just seeing parents learning to fellowship with their children, learning to receive from their adult children. And it is a transition, because you knew them when they were four. They used to be on your lap and hugging you. You used to tuck them in, and now they're grown men and women, and now you're talking to them on a whole nother level. And so this is a transition, and a thing that we all end up learning in life is just how to relate with different ages and how to discover someone even beyond their age. Even though I've got 20 years on you, even though you're the age of my kid, you learn to talk with that person almost eye to eye. And so that's a difference. It's a skill. It's a social skill. But in the household of God, there's some spiritual aspect to it and some spiritual need for the difference in ages and the way that God uses the different ages. All right, so with this verse and this concept of the despising in a healthy way, to look at it from the perspective of the older person looking to the younger person first, let's look at it that way. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul exhorted the believers in Corinth to not despise Timothy. Now, Timothy was probably coming along with that letter, and he mentions to them, don't despise Timothy. He works the work of God, just like I do. Don't despise him. Make sure he's okay. Now, Timothy at that time is maybe 15 years younger than at this time, 10 or 15 years. He's a younger man, in his 20s probably, and more easily despised. But Timothy was probably more mature spiritually than the whole church in Corinth. When the letter to the Corinthians is written, they're a fairly new church. You know, if some of them are saved for a few years, that's pretty good. Timothy had been serving the Lord since being a teenager and had served in a couple of churches locally, in his local church, in an assembly nearby, and then had been snatched up by the Apostle Paul and traveled around with him some. And they got to the spot in Corinth, and they're helping establish a church there. And then they move on to Ephesus, and a letter is sent on to Corinth. Now, people know Timothy as Paul's helper, as a very fine young man. And now he's there among them. And it would be very easy because some of them were older physically than Timothy. Very easy to know Timothy just according to his age. So he mentions that just in a comment, just as an encouragement to them, just to know a little of how to relate to Timothy. Guys, try not to despise Timothy. I know he's young, but he works the work of God. Notice that part. Don't notice his age. So that was to the Corinthians long ago. You know, this is a while later, maybe 10 plus years later, when he's also now Timothy's dealing with the church in Ephesus. And again, he's going to have a struggle of his age, of being younger. So if we're the Corinthians, our way of relating to Timothy is to know him according to Christ, to know him not after the flesh, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5. We know no man according to flesh anymore. We know them in Christ. And this is a real exercise. This is a real training that has to happen. Where I know Timothy, I want to see what's his measure of Christ and bring out the fellowship. Okay, so what would normally happen if a younger person is just fellowshipping? Our normal and natural and healthy and love for them is more like something like this. I may have experienced or seen, you know, I don't know if it's 100 cases, but a lot, where let's say someone shows up to our prayer gathering, and maybe we're not used to having a lot that are teenagers or even in their 20s at a prayer gathering. And they show up, and this young 16-year-old shows up, young according to age, but growing in the Lord. And I've been praying so much for the younger crowd. And when he prays, I almost don't notice his prayer, but I'm just so filled with joy that this young man just prayed. I'm so excited. And as soon as he finishes praying, all of us, you know, 15, 20, 30 of us all say, amen, really loud. We are all filled with love, filled with joy. We absolutely love this young man who just prayed that prayer. And everybody says amen really loud. This is good. And if you're that young man, you should realize, if you're that 16-year-old, it's because everybody loves you. It's because of the love of the brethren. Okay, but technically speaking, it probably is relating to the one according to their age. Probably it's noticeable. And you know, the worst experience when you're especially a teenager is to be put on the spot, to be called out, to be noticed extra. I know if I pray, they're going to have extra loud amens. And it's not even because of my prayer. It's just because I'm young. And so the prayer comes out, really loud amens, and you slink in your chair, and you just want to hide. And the next week when it's prayer meeting time, you're like, I'm not sure I want to go because I'm going to be so embarrassed again, and everybody's going to say amen. And even this person, after I prayed, they prayed a prayer to God, thanking God for the prayer of the young man. And so you're like, oh, no, you know. But we've got to see that is a real love of the saints. And we have to realize that this experience is part of the family of God. It's totally normal. No one should repent of it. It is actually just the joy and love of older brothers and sisters. And especially, it comes more from those who pray for the younger brothers and sisters. You'll notice that if you pray for somebody, you're extra excited when anything happens with them. If they show up, you just want to run up and hug them. I really, if it's somebody that I pray for, whatever age it is, but if something's going on, I have to kind of control myself. I just want to go up and shake their hand and say something, and there's, what is wrong with you? You know, but there's an added joy, an added love when you regularly pray for someone. That's just a fact of spiritual life. And so part of the learning of conduct in the house of God, even with the Corinthians, you know, they might see, let's take them in the best light. The church in Corinth with young Timothy in his 20s, coming to work the work of God, to help them overcome their carnality, to continue to preach Christ and him crucified. He's there for a moment, and they may hear him get up, and he shares a little bit, and he shares Christ and him crucified, just like Paul. And there's like, oh, it's so cute coming from that younger voice. And, you know, they may just out of love so appreciate Timothy that they miss the whole word that he shares. They're just so excited that the fact of Timothy sharing. And the best thing, though, for them to do is to try to listen to the Christ that he shares. the best thing to do is to try to hear the prayer that's being prayed and give the appropriate amen or whatever, but almost to be calm and cool and socially cool, I guess you would say, but to realize, like, just let them blend in. Just let them fit in. It is the best, easiest way to bring others into fellowship when they're of a younger age. But it's not a bad thing that's happening. I want to really emphasize that. It's just something that all of us at a slightly older age, we can realize it's going to happen. We can realize the love inside of us is going to want to jump out and get out of our seat and say, praise the Lord, this person's here. Praise the Lord, they prayed. But if we can deny that righteous, loving self, not our selfish self, I just mean even deny a little bit of the outward expression of Christ in us. But just for the sake of encouraging that one, of letting them blend in, of letting them be a brother and sister, of knowing them only according to Christ, it's really, really helpful. It's really helpful. It makes it easier. One time I was a small group leader, a discussion group leader at the conference, and I think maybe the first time, and I was in my mid-20s, and started to open up the time, and this dear sister burst out laughing. And she laughed, and she caught herself, and she said, he's just such a young man, and he's leading our group. And, and you know, of course, I wanted to sink in my chair and just say, never mind, you know. But she eventually calmed down, and everybody laughed. But then I just went ahead and led the group, and it was no big deal. And you know what I knew? I knew she's just excited, and it was a little funny because everyone in my group happened to be 20 years older than me or so. And so it was a little funny that, why is this young guy leading the discussion group? And I think, though, by the end of the discussion group, we all had good fellowship, and we all just learned to relate to each other in Christ. And so this is just, it's just something that's going to happen. It's just part of the household of God. It's something for us to notice. When someone shares in a fellowship time or anything like that, do you know what we want to do? If they're younger, we want to go up to them afterwards, especially. We want to encourage them. We want to let them know that that was awesome, that that was good, that please keep doing that. And it's possibly one of the worst things we can do. I'm not saying it's bad. What I mean is, it makes it more difficult for them to blend in as a brother and sister. If someone's your peer and they share well, usually you don't let them know because you don't want them to get proud or something like that. Occasionally, though, you do. You feel like, from the Lord, I really need to encourage this one because they may not realize how helpful that is. If that's the case, no matter the age, we should do it. So there's times that are very appropriate, and we'll notice the difference. It's because of the measure of Christ. It's because of some other reason than their cute age. It's because of a different reason than I just love when a young person shares that I want to encourage this one. If I notice this human, this brother or this sister, I know their name, I know the struggle they're going through, and I know that it took a lot for them to open up and share that. And if you pull them aside like that as a peer and share with them as a brother or sister, just encourage them that way, that's very healthy. That is the encouraging way. But naturally, because we're just so filled with joy when someone shares or when they open their mouth in some church gathering, we want to encourage. And I think that's healthy. I think it's the love of Christ. And I think we should prayerfully consider maybe holding back as a habit and just to check with the Lord, like, should I, or is this a case where it may make them feel a little extra self-conscious? Is this a case where maybe I should take a step back? And I think the Lord will lead us in that. So we'll get into that a little more later, but on the other side, on the younger side relating to older, we have to realize it is really difficult for someone who is an older brother or sister to not be filled with joy when we do something in the house of God, to not be smiling extra, to not be, you know, amening extra. And so we actually need to help them to discover the fellowship on the basis of Christ alone. And there's a way to help. Let no one despise your youth. It's not meant to stand by itself. When I first read this verse, after I was newly saved just at the end of being 16 years old. And so I read through the scriptures, and I I found this verse and I thought it was amazing. I was like, yes, let no one despise my youth. Because I was just 16 and then I turned 17. And so I loved this verse so much and I wanted to say it to people sometimes. And I memorized it because of that. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth. And then I realized I don't have it memorized. So I actually memorized the whole verse. And so memorizing the whole verse and word for word delivered me from my selfish, let no one despise your youth practice. In my heart, I wanted to just stop people like, you know, and call them out and be bothered and have an attitude. You know what the attitude was? It's a youthful attitude. It's a mistaken attitude. It's a proud type of attitude. It's a wrong type of attitude. To take offense, to want to stop people. Instead, I read the rest and he says, but set an example for the believers. Be a model for the believers in word, in conduct, in the way that you live, in love, in faith, in purity. The way to stop the despising is to be an example for the believers. The way to stop the despising is not by stopping the despising. It's not by asking people to stop. It's not by saying anything, which is why even today bringing this up, it's a little awkward, but or it's potentially awkward, except that the Lord has so thoroughly shown me through years and just through fellowship and through everything that this is a good thing that's happening. This is the family of God. If we don't have this experience, we're probably not experiencing the household of God. If you're in the big house, like in 2 Timothy he mentions, what Christianity becomes, it has many, many rooms, many sections and many divisions and many, many ways of overcoming the youth issue, the age barrier. You can have a youth church. You can have a youth church within the church. You don't really have to mix that much. But eventually, when you get into your 20s or even your 30s, you're like, where's the next youth church for me? I was in this church as a teenager, and I was in this church as a college student. I was in this one as a singles young adult, and this one as a career young adult. And then now I'm an older young adult, but I'm still kind of young, and I feel awkward around the much older people, and I don't know how to do church. It's because you're not experiencing the household of God. Experiencing the family of God includes different ages relating to each other. And so if we never want to run into this, we probably will run away from the house of God. But if the Lord puts us together in the same prayer gathering, in the same fellowship time, breaking bread together, fellowshipping with each other, at a meal with somebody that's much older or much younger, if the Lord puts us together like this, it's because we're experiencing two or three gathering together in his name. We're experiencing God's house. We're experiencing the family of God, and it's a very good thing. Okay, so from the younger perspective, to help with the despising is to set an example for the believers. That prayer meeting I mentioned where someone comes and the amens were loud and so on, all that's needed is to show up the next week and pray. All that's needed is to show up the third week and pray. And after five times of showing up and praying, just like anybody else, just an example for any believer, no matter the age, people will amen your prayers just like they amen someone's prayers who's 20 years older. They stop noticing your age. It's just a fact of Christian life experience. If you function like a believer, everybody will see you as a believer. If we function according to our age, it's going to be difficult for people to help us be brought into our spiritual life. But if you show up and you pray, and then you pray, and it's like, oh, you know, they may forget that you're a younger person. And so even when they're praying for the younger people, they don't even notice that you're one of them because you're not a younger person. You're just whoever. You know, you're just your name. You're just Jeffrey. You're going to be there, but we're praying for the young people to show up. If you see what I mean. I mean Jeffrey when he was young and 16. So when you're just there, when you come to the Bible fellowship time and you share, of course, it's going to be very, very cute as a cheek-pinching worthy experience for everybody. But come the next week and share and actually study the word some and share and bring your portion and edify the saints. And as you do that regularly, you'll just blend in. It's a way of overcoming by just being an example for the believers. If you'll try it for a couple of 2-3 months, just being regular, just doing your portion. If we can ignore and appreciate the you know, what comes from older brothers and sisters at first, and just realize it's just like my great aunt that loves me and pinches my cheek. You know, I just need to sit down with her more and have some talk so she has something to say besides you're so cute. And then as you do that, they learn to fellowship, and it really makes it easier. Helps everybody to just know each other in Christ. And so he says some example things, like be an example for the believers in word, in conduct, in love and faith and purity. And actually, in my own life, I in the beginning stage of being a believer, I was blessed to be around some older brothers and sisters that were so broken in the Lord from past failures and everything like that, and they so saw the need for the younger in age brothers and sisters to rise up. The environment that I was in, they were pushing all of us in our teenage years and 20s to go full force in all the measure of Christ that we had. And so there was such a strong encouragement behind the scenes, such a love, a shepherd's heart, a love from the believers that helped me so much. I think I would have taken so much longer to do things that I should have been doing. And actually, others our own age were encouraging us too. In my case, there was one brother really used by the Lord in my life to sit down and talk with me about this. And I was 17 and he was 18. We were just young, but he shared with me, why are we waiting until we're old and in our 30s to know the Word of God? Now, we would say, like, in your 30s is old, but for us, everybody that was old was in their 30s or 40s. So he said, do we need to wait till we're that age to know the Word of God like these other men and women of God? Like, do we need to wait? He said, what are we waiting on? And this talk that he had with me, it all clicked. And I stopped seeing myself as 17, as 18. I just started seeing myself as a brother in the Lord that could mature. And I said, yeah, why am I waiting? I'm putting this off until I'm older, thinking that it always just comes with age. You know, you can show up at age 30, age 40, age 50, and still not know much of the Word of God. The time is just right this moment. And so from that time, we started to study the Word of God as if we were old people, and as if there was no reason for us not to. And we stopped acting like we were younger. And it helped tremendously. But it was that heart-to-heart talk from someone my own age who just discovered it. He overflowed and shared it with me. And it actually helped the older brothers and sisters also to receive. We began to know some of the Word and memorize some of it. And you know, in the church, those that are younger in age, the minds are much sharper. Probably everyone would agree. Memorizing is actually easier, just physically speaking, when you're younger, when you're under your 30s, it's actually a lot easier. And I don't know what it's like after 40s, but I know it's more difficult for me now than it was then. I know the memory is sharper, and so that type of help is really healthy. Now, here's where we went wrong. We started to know some things more than some others who were older, and we forgot. We forgot something. We forgot that knowledge isn't all in fellowship. Knowing the scripture that person forgot doesn't make you need to despise them. There's a temptation to despise an older person also, especially if you realize, I knew something more than this person. Now, what do you have that you haven't received, like we read in 1 Corinthians? If you read a good book, does that make you something, you just read a good book that they haven't read yet? And so we read some good books, and we memorized some verses they just hadn't memorized yet. And we had to learn the hard way to respect the work that the Lord's done in the older brothers and sisters. It's not the amount of knowledge. It's the amount of failures that matters, in a way. Realizing the work, what you can definitely respect is the Holy Spirit's working in this older brother or this older sister. Even forget about what they're walking in right now or what they know. The fact of having 20 years of dealings by the Lord, the fact of just living and triumphs and failures and so on, all of that requires respect. All of that means there's some measure of Christ to receive from that, even if it's from stories of failures or stories of triumphs. whatever it is, there's some definite measure of respect. But let's say you feel like you've matured a little beyond somebody who's a little bit older. That part, great. But can we respect what the Lord has done with an older brother or sister? If the older brother or sister has just broken bread, is right with the Lord, is washed by the blood, is in good standing with God, even though you can see problems and they're not doing this and they should be doing this, and you know this is the problem when you start to grow, you notice everything, and then you're bothered by everybody who you thought should be more mature, and then you're just like, ah, oh, and you know what you're doing? You're doing the opposite problem. You're despising, but in a bad way, not in the nice way. And so you're bothered, and what we have to respect is those wrinkles mean those are Holy Spirit wrinkles. You know, if the Lord has worked something, and if they're right with the Lord, just by the fact of him bringing them to be right with him right now, it's to be respected. It's to be gained from, and there's wisdom that is according to age. It's there in the scriptures all throughout. If we read Proverbs, we're like, yes, there is respect by God in humanity. He wants there to be respect according to age. He wants us to respect those that are older, and there's a reason for it. There's a respect according to the working of God in that life. There's a respect of a unique type of wisdom which comes with the experience, not just with the knowledge and not just with pure spiritual growth, but it has to do with the time along with growth. And so that's something to definitely be respected. In the book of Job, like in chapter 32, Elihu, the young guy, steps in. And he says, I didn't say anything. I waited until older Job and older Job's three friends were all done with their three rounds of arguments. I thought, let age speak first, because with age comes wisdom. And he was right. But then he also said, but there is a spirit in man, and there's the breath of the Almighty, so I do have something to add. That's a good approach. Now, Elihu eventually got a little upset, but initially, the concept is good. He had the respect for the age, and he was listening and looking for the wisdom, and that's the way it should be. And so some older brothers were trying to help me with a mistake in my path. And because they didn't know something that I knew, I wouldn't listen, and I despised. And it's a complete failure. But if later I just learned, like, respect that Christ is worked in someone, respect and learn how to receive from everybody, and it's not according to what answers they can have in the Bible. You should be growing in the Word. You should be earning some of the Word. You should be the one bringing something to the Bible study, because also probably you have more free time sometimes. Probably, you know, some others get boggled down with other things. Anyway, you should have a portion that's a great measure and a very strong encouragement. But in the midst of that, we also keep our hearts very open, very listening, and very much receiving from all the wisdom of the older brothers and sisters. And you know what that does? It helps older brothers and sisters to not despise your youth. Because all that comes out when you get upset or bothered by others not walking as you think they ought to walk, all that comes out is youthful zeal, youthful flesh. It is just a mark of being a young person. And in order to overcome that, that viewpoint of an older brother and sister, we have to not walk that way. We have to show that respect. Listen, whatever socially is acceptable of how to relate to each other, we do those things in our country, in our environment, whatever that matches up with. But that type of receiving and listening is absolutely needed. I mentioned in Word, if we're an example for the believers, there is no reason, why we shouldn't have a have a portion of the Word of God to bring. That is a good measure. Okay, and the next thing is in conduct. Now, all of these things, they're not just to be brought up, like you could bring up the topic of love and we have a lot to say. But these things are unique in dealing with the age. So in my word of sharing, am I sharing like a 20-something person, or am I sharing like a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ who has the words of God? You know, am I sharing just my style as a younger person, or am I sharing the words of God that would be acceptable whether I was 20 years older or my age? That's the difference that matters. It's just when I speak, when I open my mouth, what's coming out, is it something from a brother or from a sister, or is it my style as a younger person? That's what I have to learn to be an example for the believers. Can someone else share this with you? Now, I don't mean to change your style and not talk with your accent or with your words, but occasionally we notice some words I can't say that because that's a slang lingo that I'd have to explain to everybody. Can I just translate that? And I can translate it. I can't reference that because that's a show that probably nobody's seen that's you know, over whatever age. There's some things that maybe I could talk a certain way with my own age, but the important part is that I have words of God, like Elihu. There is the breath of the Almighty, and that's what I have to share. And then in conduct, if I live in my life as a believer versus living like a young person. Now, that's something I had to learn as a teenager. Am I living like a teenager or am I living like a believer? And so that actually changes. Can I trust this person? Can I trust this person to do this? You know, if they just act their age or the typical worldly way of that age, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're trustworthy or anything like that. But if you earn their respect, if you're an example for believers by the very way that you live, then there's a way through with fellowship, and it helps the older brothers and sisters to not despise you. In a household with a family, the father and mother have to gradually let some freedom happen to the kids, gradually let some responsibilities happen. But it's difficult to automatically, okay, now that you're 16, you can drive. But if you have a 16-year-old who acts like a 12-year-old, you might say, let's go ahead and wait till you're 18. There's no reason to do this at 16 because you're not sure that they're going to survive in the car. You know, the only you just see them playing Mario Kart, and that's all that you know is going to happen. They're going to crash everywhere. But their maturity level doesn't seem to match. But if they are a mature one, if they do the things that you've set out in your household, whether it's something small, even of, you know, having the room a certain way or whatever it is, that there's a respect with parents. There's not the rebellion against parents. When there's the rebellion against parents, of course, the parents want to not give much freedom because they just think it's more dangerous. But when there's the respect and the submission, as much freedom as is possible, they desire to give because they just give a little and see that you're faithful and responsible. You're acting like a 25-year-old instead of like a 14-year-old. You're doing so well. I know I can trust my child with this. That's how you break through that transition. And it's the same in the church. If our conduct is such, you know, maybe they'll let you lock up the building, even though you're 22, but you got to lock up the building. But some 22-year-olds, I was told, don't let that one lock it up because I don't know what they're going to do afterwards. So that's a real thing. And I think it's appropriate. If I'm a 22-year-old that acts, you know, a way that is uncertain with the older brothers and sisters, even though when they were 22, they had the keys to the building. It's not the age, it's the, are you acting as a model for the believers? So that's how we help each other to relate to each other like that. And in love, in love and in faith and purity are these other ones. Just mention these things just according to youth. When you're young, love, our natural love as a younger human in general is quite selfish. Even our love for parents, we usually don't even have too much direction that way. For example, when you get to be off on your own, and then especially if you have little kids, you go back to your parents and you're like, I'm so sorry. I never appreciated anything you ever did. I was so rude to you. I didn't realize how much you loved me. And I just see it now. And I thought you were just so dull and socially awkward. And now I appreciate everything about you. That's what happens. Later, you know, the love gets a little less selfish. Sometimes it's because the kids require you to be selfless because you've got to get up and make sure the baby's alive when they're crying and stuff like that. But whatever it is, the love of a believer is selfless love. And the love of a young human is pretty selfish. So if I walk in selfish love, I don't really care about the older believers. I just see them as a bother. I just see them as mean people that, you know, are looking at me this way and are going to despise me. I'm acting like my age. But if I tap into the love of Christ, I might even start praying for them. I probably will. And I start to care about all of God's people, whatever the age is. And when you love the believers like that, you're an example for the believers. And that overcomes the age barrier. And it helps everybody to not despise your youth, but to just see you as a brother or sister in Christ. And it's the same with in faith, especially as you're growing in maturity. You know, faith has its growing. You start off in faith and you're born again. But then there's this height of faith, and they're growing from being a little child to a young man to a father in the faith. Where should you be spiritually? If you've had 5 years, should you be a father in the faith right now? Probably. What are you waiting for? I'm not saying an aged, wise father, but should you have that spiritual life like a father in the faith, even a young father in the faith, just able to care for the flock, to care for the people of God? And if our in faith we're not an example to the believers, that basically means I'm just existing as a Christian. And because of that, I only act my physical age. They will know me according to my flesh because I'm only in my flesh. But if I walk by faith and I grow in faith, they're going to discover, oh, there's a young man in the faith. He's strong in the word and overcoming in life, overcoming evil. They discover that because your faith is actually growing. And then in all purity, it is actually an issue among younger aged. A lot of times we're not married yet, and our way of acting is something of, there's a younger style. It is a little bit more flirtatious. It is a little bit more untrustworthy. This is why even with Timothy, as you're relating in chapter 5, he says, there's a younger sister. Relate to her as a sister, but in all purity. Remember that part. It's something of age, especially. Maybe part of it is because later on you end up being married or something, but I noticed when I was younger, trying to just follow the Lord, I related to sisters and in a certain very free way, very fun way. But I talked to a very older sister who was married, who was like 25. And I sat there and I talked with her and I gave her such respect. And I would never treat her like I treated my fellow 18-year-old girls, sisters. And the Lord convicted me because of that. And from there on, I started treating every 18-year-old, every 19-year-old, every potential wife as someone else's wife, as someone just like that married girl. And that helped me in all purity to not act my age. The Lord will make up for it. You don't need to shop for your wife or your husband or let them know how fun you can be. He'll provide. So in all purity, it's just a thing of overcoming that people see there's a trustworthy person. There's somebody who is a believer and not just a young person. So it helps everybody. Okay, now, in chapter 5, another thing is mentioned here. And he's telling Timothy, who's in between both ages, so he's really at a perfect spot of seeing this reality. He's both tempted to despise younger brothers and sisters. And he's also easily, especially in Ephesus, despised by the older brothers and sisters. In his case, he tells him how to relate to an older man, to an older woman. And he says to them, at the beginning of it, he says, rebuke not an elder or an older man harshly, but exhort him as a father, as you would your father. And this is a real key. So first, let's look at it from this perspective. As I'm relating to an older brother and sister, I'm in the house of God, I'm being an example for the believers, and now because we're in the house of God, we're gathering together in his name, we're in each other's lives, we're going to have fellowship. We're going to do things together. We're going to be with each other. And I need to know how to actually talk to you. And I have this older man, his age of my father, and how do I talk with him? And he actually uses this word, exhort him, which means that, you know, the more we're spending time with each other, I'm going to have something as a younger one to share that is actually a warning or an encouragement for someone who's older. It's not enough to be a younger brother and sister in the church and just respect older brothers and sisters. There comes the time when you have to approach and talk and forgive and talk to them about something wrong that they did, or talk to them about something that the Lord would have them walk in a stronger way. There comes a time when the Lord's put the measure of Christ in you to encourage an older brother or an older sister. And it's a time you might dread, like I've learned how to handle all of this and no one's bothered. But then comes a time when the Lord says, you got to talk to that older brother who is doing something wrong. You need to talk to them. Now, how do you do it? If you have no thought for age and you're just like, in Christ, there's no age, which is true. In fellowship, there's no age, But we have to learn how to conduct ourselves in the household of God. It's not appropriate. You go up and here he says, don't rebuke him harshly. And actually, this is the only place in the Bible where this rebuke harshly word is used. You can find it in other Greek texts like the Iliad and stuff like this. And there it's like, don't pound someone on the head. It's used physically, like for bashing someone's head, or like with words, like I pound you on the head with my words. And it's because whether however harsh you are, it feels like that. If someone comes up with no respect for your age and they're 20 years younger and you know you've experienced so much more, and they come up and they just start to talk to you as if you were their age, and they just start to tell you what you're doing wrong, and they just share it with you like they would rebuke their best friend, but maybe even worse. But as they share it, it's like it's really hard to receive. And so what's our goal? If your goal is fellowship, it needs to be easier for them to receive. You don't want to just walk away from that help, walk away from what you share and just say, that's just a mean, stubborn old person, and I told them what was true and they're not going to do it. So the Lord will deal with them. You know, the Lord needs to deal with us because we were not conducting ourselves right in the house of God. The way is like you would your father. I don't know if you've ever had to talk to your dad about something like that maybe should change, but that's the way you talk. Like, dad, father, you know, what do you think about this? I've been thinking about what we're doing here or the way we're spending money here or anything like that. Let's say you're in the house and you're a believing house and you long to have a family altar in your house, but your dad hasn't led the way. But should you go to your parents and say, why didn't you all ever do this? Why didn't we ever do the family altar? You all are neglecting my spiritual life as a kid in this house, and it's not right. You just pounded them on the head. You just rebuked them harshly. And do they receive it? You're grounded. Go to your room. You know. Maybe they receive it. If you're in the good of Christ, you can receive even someone who's rebuking you harshly. That's true. But it's unusual and it's not easy. And it's only by God's grace that someone could receive that. And take the way that they do it is they take it back to the Lord. When someone comes to you in the wrong way, it hurts. But you take it back to the Lord and you're like, Lord, is there any truth? And in all humility, maybe you can go with that. But it doesn't mean that it was appropriate. It was the wrong approach. But if you talk to the parents, like, what do you all think about doing this? What do you all think about having a prayer time or a singing time once a week in our family? What do you all think about doing this? I think it would be great. You know, they'll just have joy. The parents will just say, yes, let's do that. That's great. That would be wonderful. Many younger kids that are believers have helped their parents come into Christ, brought their parents into even church gatherings because they wanted to go. And we know at the conference, sometimes some families come because the kids bring their parents because it's such a fun family conference and the kids bring their families. And I've talked to some parents that said, we're kind of here because our kids absolutely would not let us not go this year. And so they're there. And that's wonderful. But the approach is not commanding. It is with respect as with a father. So when we are relating to someone, with all of that respect, with all of that treatment as you love your parent, and also in realizing I may be wrong, there's a type of humility that comes with that. Like, what do you think about this? Is this right? Like, you present it and you're willing to change because you know that you could easily be wrong. And you know that wisdom is embedded in age. There is some wisdom there. But you also know sometimes people need a little extra help. And like I mentioned earlier, someone who should be growing, should be at this spot, they should know these things, they used to do these things. We need to respect these brothers and sisters. The fact that they're right with the Lord right now is to be respected. Now, what's happened? Their conscience forgot something. But how does the Holy Spirit treat us? The way the Holy Spirit relates to us is like a dove. He just gently brings something up and is scooted away as soon as you reject him and flies away quickly. And that's what happens to these consciences of mature brothers and sisters that just forgot something that this young brother and sister have discovered. And so as the fellowship comes up, that's brought into memory. And then you're like, oh yeah, I used to know that. And you're edified and it's all built up. But if the younger brother or sister does not act like the Holy Spirit, and instead acts like Satan. They just harshly condemn. Why aren't you walking like you should be walking? Everything is death. There's no fellowship and there's no blessing for the house of God. It's not the way we conduct ourselves in the house of God. The way is gentle like the Holy Spirit. In all gentleness, you know, the Holy Spirit just brings it back up. Do you remember? Do you remember the way you used to walk? And so sometimes in fellowship, you even ask an older brother or sister, tell me about the good old days. You know, tell me about what it was like when you were this age or what you were doing or anything like that. Tell me when you were saved or some other things. Do you know, and sometimes when they're sharing, memory comes back. Holy Spirit memory, conscience memory, like, oh yeah, I used to do that. And they might not say it, but sometimes they go home like, Lord, I want to do that again. I remember when I used to study the word and I want to do this again. I remember when I used to be like this. I want to do this again. It is so edifying. It is so encouraging. Relate to the older women as a mother. And it's the same type of principle. But you know, with a child, the mother is most easily disrespected because the mother is so full of love. The father is scary usually. And so, you know, like in the Bible, he says just to dads, like, don't exasperate your kids. Don't be too harsh, because it's a problem with dads. And also there's the fear factor with the man in the house. But with the mom, there's such the comfort and the love, and there's such that way in the household that the kid can easily take her for granted and not show the respect. And just realizing that so much love shows up there that they disrespect in a way of not listening, not responding right. So in the household of God, though, an older sister, when we're relating to an older sister, it's as you would your mother in the right way. A mother in the right way does not need to say a command twice because you so appreciate her love. The way that it changes in the house is when you discover the love of your mother and that earns your respect. There's the fear of the father and the love of the mother. Now for me, there was this sister. I was growing up spiritually at this gospel camp every summer, a couple of months of the summer, or a month and a half. And the camp directors were a husband and wife, and the wife was really like a mother to all of us. And she, one time we did something and we were at a talent show or something. But anyway, it was just people would go up and sing a song or do something like that. And me and some guys, we did a very worldly song that we baptized and we put Christian words to it, but we did the routine and dance just like all of this boy band did. And so we had all the same, even some of the young teenagers were like, are those guys really here? Did you all have this concert come? Because it looked so much, we were just lip singing sort of, but we had changed the words and we thought this was great. And you know, when younger people function in the church, they need the freedom to make terrible mistakes sometimes. They need the freedom and flexibility to express life and then learn from some mistakes. But if we are so worried about mistakes, the life may never come out. So there was some freedom, and so we came up with this and we did this thing, and everybody was singing and shouting. Everybody thought it was awesome, and the words were pretty good. And we got down, and this sister was in tears and talked with one of us, and her heart was so broken. And she saw all those young girls, you know, idolizing this boy band, our style, and it was just the worldliness of it so broke her heart. All of us had broken hearts. All of us had tears because of the love of the mother of Israel, because of the love of the mother in the church. Because of her heart was broken, she broke our hearts. And we repented, and we learned something valuable. And she didn't have to demand that respect, but we saw her as a mother who loves her children. It naturally comes from someone who prays for them, and she just had it. And I just remember that so vividly. And when I see a mother in the church, there's such a respect for the love that comes from them. You know, we have a lot of believers among us that practice this in a good way. I remember coming here in the assembly, and I was delighted that a number of older brothers and sisters would sit down and fellowship and talk with me, even though I was 25, 26, and it was as if we were the same age. And I can remember, especially there's five of them. I mean, it was such a memory to me, like, wow, that person talked to me like I was an adult. You know, I remember it, and I remember our sister, Ann Williams, who passed away, went to be with the Lord. She would have us over, Catherine and I, and we're just young nobodies, and she had us over, and she fellowshiped with us so much and received from us, and we saw her as a mother, though. The respect was there, not because she could teach us so much. Actually, she would ask Bible questions and share stuff, but it was because she would receive and because of the love. The respect was because of the love. Okay, now, relating downward. Basically, we don't relate downward. But relating to somebody younger, he says, to the younger men, relate as brothers, not as little brothers. The key here is that they're brothers, peer-to-peer, brother-to-brother. Though Timothy is 15 years younger than you, you talk with him like he's your age. And in fellowship, you relate to him that way. You know, one of the reasons we wanted to open up the time for some to share testimonies of the Queen's Conference was because a 13-year-old brother in our gathering last night was just so full of Christ. And the conference was on the fullness of Christ. And as he started to share, Christ just came out. And I was sitting next to him, and I just thought, wow, and my feet were washed. And I said, that brother is a brother. You know, and now he helped me to not despise youth, obviously. But when we were listening, I just received as a brother, and I completely forgot his age in the time. Now, to sit down and ask someone to share, when you sit down and you look at them in their eyes and you begin to fellowship, you're seeing them as if they're your age. I don't know if you have to use imagination or not, but there's just a way of talking. You know how some people talk to a kid like they're a baby or like they're a dog or something? Of course, we're not going to do something like that. But sometimes, accidentally, when we talk to a younger person, we're so used to teaching that age, or we're so used to that person being like my kids or something like that, that we don't know how to bring them. We need to learn to bring them up to our age, how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. This way, this spiritual skill enables more fellowship. You sit down at a meal and you're asking somebody something. We have a number of brothers and sisters in this room who are slightly older than me who are really good at this, even with people who are teenagers and in their 20s. And we actually have a number of brothers and sisters that are younger than me that are excellent at fellowshipping with all ages. And I believe the Lord has done this type of thing. And this is the joy in the family of God. The need, though, is for different ages. The need in the church and the lack in the church is often because we've accidentally cut off some fellowship. We've accidentally despised a youth. We've accidentally made it difficult for them to function. We've accidentally, out of love even those that pray the most, accidentally say something, do something that just makes it really hard for them to function. And because of that, the very lack that people see is because we don't have their portion in Christ. In the church, the Lord has a different portion for those that are in their 20s. They're stronger even physically. They're able to do some things even in life, even in their social spot, that some of the rest of us can't do. I can't do the things that I used to be able to do in my 20s. And now with little kids and with my time, I'm hindered. And I know there's another realm of abilities and inabilities. When you're in your 60s or when you're in your 80s or whatever age, there's just a difference in function in the house of God with different ages. And if we enable each other to fellowship, enable each other, we'll have the portion from all ages. And in the family of God, in the household of God, there's joy. I'm so glad to be in the house of God, so glad to be in the family of God, so glad to have a brother and a sister. So glad to receive from that 13-year-old that just washed my feet, sharing the fullness of Christ. So glad to receive from that 70-year-old that just shared such wisdom and such grace and had such love and such mercy. This is the family of God, and it is a wonderful thing. And I believe the Lord desires for in his house for us to enjoy fellowship with all ages, all brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your loving heart, for your church, and for not leaving us divided up into different ages or other things, but you put us in the family of God, and you give us older brothers and older sisters, and you give us younger brothers and younger sisters, and those our own age. And Lord, you delight in this, and you delight in your family, and you delight in the household of God. And Lord, we just bring these things before you. We especially desire in our own midst that we could receive the portion from all the saints, that you would bring us into more and more enjoyment of the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, that more and more we would receive that portion that's been hidden, that portion that's hiding and that's had a difficult way. Lord, break through. Release us from any unnecessary barriers. But Lord, bring us through into the joy of fellowship in the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.